All right. Well, hello, everyone who's here. Probably easier to introduce us to you. The five of us work with ARC/Monsoon. And do either of you have any experience with Globus by any chance? All right. Well, that's for the best.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah. Make this easier for me. Okay. So. There's a couple presentation topics, but there's no real point in dwelling on this slide. So I'm just going to charge through these first couple. In their own words, Globus does all of these things. In my words, it's an easy use interface. It offers direct and fast transfers, and it's robust and nearly automatic error handling. The error handling aspect could be something as simple as you're over quota, a network device went down, someone closed their laptop if you're trying to move something onto a personal collection. And as far as fast goes, we leverage DTN1, our login node, which is our data transfer node, because it has at least 10 times the speed bandwidth of like a typical gigabit wall jack. So it's got a faster connection to the internet at large. Picture's worth a thousand words. The Globus file browser is, like you can see here, just a web page. The file browser itself should be familiar to Mac and Windows users, or Linux users for that matter. It's got useful right-click menus. It's got clear, plain language options and friendly little info toggles. How do I turn on the laser pointer? Well, if you click these little eye buttons, they expand to show you more context, which we'll see in the next couple slides here. But do note, it's a very simple, friendly looking file browser, nothing special, and plain language makes things relatively easy to understand. Now, the first page of the transfer options that are available to people making transfers on Globus, and I'll get into the architecture of Globus and some terminology a little bit later, but just for now, if you have any experience with rsync, or tools that do sort of file synchronization across the network, a lot of these options will seem very familiar to you. Notice that we've got a couple different ways to determine what file is different or how it's different, like a newer date or a different checksum. You have options regarding what files you may want to delete, what files you may want to overwrite, that sort of thing. You can encrypt your transfers by default. The controlling mechanisms, that is to say, the source and destination areas, communication between them is encrypted always, but the data stream isn't necessarily. I think really the only drawback to an end user of encryption would be your transfer is probably going to go a little bit slower, but there's not a lot of reason to worry about that. But it is nice to have that option if you do have data that you think could even reasonably be something you would want to encrypt. Well, I think that's good for this slide. Let me go back real quick. Yeah, and you have full control over what defines different files. That was like the checksum or the update timestamp, that sort of thing. The other transfer options, a lot of notifications that I would recommend disabling. You can just check the activity in the sidebar if you're doing any sort of large transfer. And if you're doing a small transfer, it'll probably happen while you're still looking at it. But note that there is the scheduling and repeat functionality here. Now those items taken together with the sync options give you a complete synchronization solution. If you've got a collection on your laptop and a collection on /project/Beekman lab, whatever lab you have, project you have on our projects file system, you can set that up to, for example, at 3 a.m. every night, synchronized. You'll have to have your laptop on for this example, but that would work. You could similarly do the same thing where you have a folder full of files that you synchronize between Monsoon and another institution. Let's see. All right. This is just a quick interface tour. You could actually do this just by opening Globus, which we're going to do shortly, and clicking this yourself. But as just sort of an easier tour for me to give by clicking a button, I'll go ahead and start this here. So So the first thing it's going to show you is that these icons on the sidebar, you can view the context of them, their full names, grayed out when they're not available. You can filter and sort of configure your file views if you'd like. You can show only directories, for example. And you can choose between one and two panel views. Again, if you're used to graphical interface file transfer utilities, you're probably used to seeing both one and two panel views for that sort of thing. Now, Globus is really based on collections. You share a collection. And one of them that we offer is NAU OneDrive. We also have, of course, the NAU file system, or the HPC file system that you're used to seeing if you're on Monsoon in any way, the home directory, your scratch directory, slash projects, that sort of thing, slash common. but we also offer a couple connectors, we call them, to both OneDrive and Google Drive, so that you can move things from or to either one of those and Monsoon. Let's see here. So here I've listed what's on my OneDrive, and I just sort of click around, show a couple more of the options that are available to you there, or a couple of the GUI features that are available. Moving right along. Now, about audit consents. You're going to see screens that look like this constantly when you're using the web interface, at least at first. These are tracked, and you can view activity for everything that you do on, or everything that you do and everything that you allow on Globus. So when you're doing a file transfer, it will show you a complete list of the times and the things that happened, any potential errors that it saw along the way. Similarly, you have to explicitly tell Globus, I'm gonna allow you to do this. You can talk to this party, yes. You can upload to this area from a web page, yes, I agree to that. So all of these things are, in essence, audited. But you will see this a lot. Just don't be afraid of them. Try to read and understand, but it's all just kind of what I just said. It's nothing too scary, even though it does kind of look that way. All right, exercise one. Go to app.globus.org and explore. Afterward, if you have any short questions, feel free to shoot them at me. Any longer questions, I hope to just cover by the time we get to the slides on those topics. And I will dog food myself here in another window. Oops. Sorry, I'll get that back in a moment here. Where did I lose my window?
I have a question.
Yeah.
It might be dumb.
Probably not.
Okay. How is this different from, like, I've always used WinSCP to, like, interact with Monsoon and move things around? Is it similar to that?
It's very similar to that. WinSCP and SCP clients in general, and SFTP clients for that matter, probably don't have all of the same features that Globus does.
Okay.
And, hopefully you'll see it. Yeah, it's just a fancy file moving mechanism, but it is a lot more than that, especially with collaboration involved. It's hard to collaborate over SCP.
I see. Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
Jason's going to kind of make this point a little more hand-holding.
Yeah, it's really the evolution of old things like FTP and SFTP and SCP. Maybe not so much SCP, but it's the evolution of FTP. And in fact, the native infrastructure to infrastructure software that Globus uses a protocol called Grid FTP, which is indeed based on old school FTP, but with a lot more features and security. Should I pause the recording for this, Chris, you think? You guys take your time, just let me know when you will want me to proceed. While in the file manager, I guess you could see what happens if you right-click a directory versus right-click a file. You'll see a couple menus change. You can also bookmark whatever view is currently listed, the file listing you're looking at. Like you could choose not just NAUHPC file systems root level, but your Scratch slash whatever within there and bookmark that so that you could literally copy paste that link into your toolbar, into your address bar.
I have one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So is there any kind of way here I can see some the tree structure or, I mean, directory structure or directory trees in some area or corner of this window?
Let me see if I understand the question. You would like to like be able to expand one directory to show hierarchically nested directories? Is that
yes? It's kind of like some kind of dedicated sub window, like the Google Drive. So once you click that directory, all the subdirectories shown.
I don't think so. Do you know about anything like that, Chris? I don't use the Google Drive enough to know what that tree sort of view you're speaking about is actually.
I see. It's kind of very similar to the window. Is it Window Explorer?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, that doesn't exist in Globus. Not to say that it won't. They are developing this regularly, but I don't know about it currently.
I see. Thank you.
Oh, actually, along those lines, you could probably rig something like that up if you are handy with scripting, because there is a command line interface to Globus 2, which would get you closer to what you're searching for, but not as nice an interface.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. I guess the most important thing for me to point out while I'm on this slide is that you can change the path underneath the collection so that when you're on any UHPC file systems, you could literally type in /scratch/abc123, and there's your scratch directory, because you may not otherwise know an easy way to get there, since it defaults to your home directory. Are you guys pretty comfortable so far? My in-person people?
I think so.
Okay.
I feel like what it pulled up when I went to the Google Drive was kind of strange. But
now, if you can reproduce, we can take a look.
Really?
Yeah.
It's your Google Drive.
So. Yeah, specifically if you have a personal Google Drive like I do, and which this is coming off of, it could get confusing.
Is there a way to access, because I have a Google Drive from like my student account.
That would be,
but then I also have one with like my work, you know.
And those are different? I did not realize that was a thing.
There's only one in Google. Of course, there's a personal one. But I don't believe, unless you're picking settings up that way, you can't access your personal one through Globus.
Correct. Do you know what the one you want in the one dot Allen and also the link?
Okay, well, I'm going to move ahead to, now that you've seen what Globus looks like, let's talk about what you might be doing with Globus. It's great for moving, it's best for moving large blobs of information, whether that is a million files or a gazillion bytes. You can move files back and forth between Monsoon and your personal workstation. You can move between Monsoon and let's say, Harvard or another institution you may be collaborating with who is also running the same Globus software on their infrastructure that we are. You can move stuff from your areas of Monsoon to my areas of Monsoon. You could copy and, or you could download and upload files to, for example, a collection that I've put in my home directory, something otherwise nobody would be able to access, or your projects directory or your scratch directory. If somebody uploads something to your collection, you have the permissions on that collection and it will be translated to your user ID. I think, I actually forgot to test this, but pretty sure that's how it works. And if not, I will post some sort of correction somewhere later. In any case, it can be done one way or another. You can also move stuff between one workstation, laptop or desktop, to another, as long as both are running the Globus software in some form. In this case, you would have to download and install it on your own workstation, because to share stuff from your workstation, you do need the Globus software. But you can download stuff without it to your local workstation, and you can also work with any number of endpoints via the web interface without having to have any software on your machine. Now, it's great for time-consuming and complex transfers. Think especially that prior case with PC to PC. If you're just doing a Windows copy over like Samba, you got your NAU shares shared drive up, and you're moving files from PCA to PCB through like a shared drive, the bottleneck is going to be both of your PC workstations. But I guess the bottleneck is not so important, but you will be able to just sit there, and if anything fails, if somebody closes their laptop, Globus will keep trying. You open your laptop, Globus reconnects, it'll start copying again. It's not going to be like a Windows file transfer where it'll just break in the middle and you have to triage whatever happened, figure it out, start over, probably overwrite all the files you'd already made. Globus will just pick back up again. It sends chunks of files so that it can always just pick up from wherever it left off. Not unlike, I guess, Ethernet. you can collaborate, that is to say, you can share files with, which is also to say read and write files, with NAU affiliated people, of course, but also not NAU people. And with NAU people, you can communicate. This is specific to Monsoon's use cases, but somebody who's not in your enterprise group, they also can't write to your project directory. If they're in a different SLURM group, you probably don't have a projects directory either that you could be sharing. So you're able to share things with people in a very smooth, straightforward way that you usually wouldn't be able to. And in addition to the web interface for advanced users, there's some command line tools that are easily installed via Anaconda or in an Anaconda environment. And there's also some APIs for people who want to build a whole program around it. Globus is sort of renowned for being, well, I don't know if it's renowned, but sort of some of their marketing is that they are very secure. They're the best in the game of this big file transfer industry. In addition to being able to share with people who aren't NAU people, you could share with anonymous public people. They would be able to download a file directly via their web browser without having to log into Globus. Now, you could also set up an upload for that sort of purpose. You would have to, tweak some permissions along the way, and we could discuss that. But the important thing to know is that nobody's really required to do anything special. It's all pretty straightforward. You don't even necessarily need an account on Globus. You could sign in with your personal Google account. Anybody at NAU can, of course, sign in with their NAU account. And if somebody wanted to sign up just unaffiliated with anything, they can create an ID with Globus themselves. And that would allow them, more fluid usage of the Globus system, but isn't strictly required for all cases. You can move between Monsoon and personal workstations, like I mentioned, but also between Monsoon and your Google Drive, between Monsoon and the OneDrive. You could even move files between Google Drive and OneDrive. You can configure both read and write access. As far as read and writes go, you could do simple copies, or you could synchronize between two locations and schedule those synchronizations. And like I'd already said, there's some command line tools that are also fun. Endpoints are frequently used in endpoints and collections are frequently used together or in place of one another. I'll just read this. The Globus endpoint is simply a server hosting Globus's file sharing software. I have a little asterisk by the A there because you could have more than one server. For the purposes of this presentation, just assume an endpoint is a server. Ours is DTN1, and an endpoint without a collection isn't worth much. Same, a collection that doesn't have an endpoint to host it isn't really a collection. So they're kind of frequently interchanged. Our endpoint name is NAU HPC Endpoint, and one of our major systems on it is NAU. One of our major file systems available through our endpoint is NAU HPC file systems. That is everything that you'd usually see in slash, scratch, home, projects, that sort of thing. Individual users can install the same simple software to their local equipment, and they become an endpoint slash collection. And you would move stuff between a laptop and Monsoon or a laptop and Google Drive, just the same as any other collection to collection. You have all the same options with a few exceptions. Like, you can't create a collection to share with others from your personal computer unless you pay money. There is an upcharge for that feature, but it's not available by default, which is probably good for security reasons. This little diagram here shows one of the most important aspects of Globus is that the endpoints, which again, I'm going to kind of use interchangeably with collections, especially right here, you use Globus as kind of a remote control. The remote control talks to the server software running on endpoint A, running on endpoint B, and tells them to do the transfer. And those two are the ones that talk to each other. So it doesn't have to go through your local machine, which at best would have like a gigabyte or a gigabit connection via the wall. Instead, DTN1, which is where Monsoon would be, I guess, bottlenecked, is 10 gigs. Well, no slower, no faster than 10 gigs, about 10 gigs. And as long as the other endpoint also is a super fast connection, you're going to be getting just the raw speed available that you wouldn't be able to going even just like a two different SAMO drives mounted on your desktop, being a bottleneck between the two. It's just a much faster, smoother, direct option. Like I'd mentioned with the collections, each endpoint has a layer of collections. The main one on our endpoint is NAU HPC file systems, because the server running that's its own native file system. So we will especially confuse endpoint and collection on that collection. Let's see. Moving ahead here. Okay. So now that I've talked about all the different transfer options you can do, let's just watch me do a couple here. First thing I do is, of course, start with my OneDrive, within which we have our Teams chat files. And within those, I had a picture of my dog. So let's say I wanted to download that to my desktop. It downloads, as you can see. You can open it up. There's my cool dog running in the snow. And then we're back at the interface. From here, you could, for example, open the two-pane view and move that file, instead of to your desktop, to another endpoint / collection. So let's go ahead and see that. In this case, let's move something to Monsoon. So I just search for the collection name. Just search any of you, you'll find what you're looking for, unless it's a personal endpoint. I choose the path that I want to move it to, and I start the copy. I could have also, of course, using these transfer options in the middle there, set up a synchronization if that was an image that I was changing regularly or something. But you can see the event log associated with this transfer, the general details about it. I don't think that info screen is necessarily live, so it will just say started as long as you're looking at it. So you may have to close it and refresh directory, at least in this incarnation. Let me go back a bit here. So we can see after I refreshed, that picture got moved to my demo directory in my home directory on Monsoon. That's awesome. Now let's say I want to, in that right side, open my NAU Google Drive. And I can transfer that same photo to my Google Drive directly without going through my desktop. And like all transfers, you can view the details, view the exact event times and descriptions. Again, you can see it says transfer started. So eventually I go back to the browser and just hit refresh before it will show up. And there's that image. And I think that was it for this movie. Yeah, okay. So now that you've seen me do some transfers, it's time for you guys to try some transfers. Now, when I originally made this slide, we hadn't quite gotten our OneDrive set up yet. So I had a whole spiel about using this ESNet collection. If you have files in your Google Drive or OneDrive and can move them to Monsoon or to or from Monsoon, you can go ahead and do that. But you're also free to just go to this anonymous test site if you wanted to copy a file from there. We have no upload privileges there, obviously. All right, got a half hour in and we're about halfway through. I should mention while I'm waiting that the videos that are embedded in this presentation are available as raw files on that URL that was on the first slide, the rcdata.nau.edu/hpcpub/globus, as well as this the PowerPoint of this presentation, all four of which are liable to be updated a little bit in these next couple of days as we make a couple tweaks. So just be aware that if you bookmark something, it might break. And holler at me when you guys are happy with giving this a little try.
Oh,
yeah, after you make a transfer, if you don't immediately see it and it's a small file and you do expect it to be done already, you probably just need to refresh. I suspect that's probably something that Globus could eventually clean up and make more smooth, but for now, just remember to refresh. Also good to point out here that it doesn't matter left or right, as long as you know which one you're copying from and you choose the correct start button. You could put Monsoon on the right and Starlight on the left in this example, and as long as you click the correct button, it's the same. Left or right has no special meaning here. Is everyone okay for me to charge ahead? All right. So I kind of off the cuffed a little bit about the architecture of Globus. Here is a little bit more, just the Globus's own diagram is real nice and pretty, but let's look at ours on the right here. You can see our endpoint sort of underneath everything here, DTN1 being our hardware that's running the Globus software, also associated with that endpoint. On top of that is our storage gateways. The main one is our NAU HPC file systems. Again, that's what you would see on Monsoon under //home/scratch. We also have NAU Google Drive and NAU OneDrive. Those are different kinds of storage gateways, and note that you may not be able to do stuff with those that you would with Monsoon's file systems. For example, you may not be able to create a shared collection from your Google Drive. I'm pretty sure you can't, in fact. Note in this diagram here, we show that the NAU HPC file systems is a mapped collection. And from that mapped collection, you can stage guest collections. Mapped collections are created by us, the administrators, or I suppose maybe you on your personal endpoint, but guest collections are things that you guys create. If you're making a collection, it will be a guest collection, just as far as terminology goes, because you might see that as we move along. Globus themselves radically changed their terminology in the last year. If you want to read about it, the URL at the bottom has a lot of info about it and like a translation key of what this used to mean versus what it means now. Let's see. So of those guest collections that you can create, by the way, you could put them in your home, in your Scratch, in your projects. Any of those are fair game. They're all in any HPC file systems gateway. Let's see. I guess by now we probably know what a collection is, but I did want to draw more attention to the fact that a mapped collection is users that usually have local access to what you're looking at. And Monsoon, obviously all our users have access to the same slash stuff directories. That's why they're called mapped. It's mapped to your user ID, your privileges. A guest collection, that's your stuff. And you set the privileges and permissions on those. And collection access is authenticated with OAuth2 access tokens and all those consents we saw earlier. That's the user authentication. Files are protected with data access policies and access control lists. This diagram, similar to the other one, just makes the point that you could be collaborating with another user off of the same data source, but while you and the other user are talking to Globus as the remote control system, Globus is going to be talking to the data system, which will then send the data to, like in this example, user B. Just a nice direct, and because it is more direct, also more secure option for moving files. Okay. So now that I've told you that you can share collections and files from all these places, I'm going to walk you through how I would do it, or how I have done it. As you can see, you can right click and see a share menu. Note that when you do choose that share option, you go to the screenshot on the right here, which is not the ACL list, access control list, that you might expect to see. We will see that when we click add a guest collection. But this is sort of a staging area for you to think, do I already have the collection that I want to share shared? And if so, I can just click permissions on, for example, my ASDF gibberish collection that I've already created. When you click permissions there, you'll get to a similar looking screen as we will under add a guest collection, which we are about to see. It's just a list of users and what they can access. But before we get to the access control list, you do define the collection that you want. You define the directory that it is going to be based on, and it will always be that directory until, or I should say, that will be the root of the directory this collection shares. You'll never be able to access any files below that, like under projects. Through this guest collection. I guess you could call it a security measure of a sort. And when you are referring to paths within a collection, they are all relative to that directory. So within your new guest collection that you're creating here, slash will actually equal projects Beekman Lab. On top of the guest collection, once we create it, we will define the access controls. And we will see shortly that you can share with specific Globus users, all Globus users, that is to say Globus users who have authenticated with their Globus account or the Google account or their NAU account, or anonymous public web access. That's how you would get a file downloaded from a storage with somebody who didn't want to bother creating an account with Globus. Okay. Now, anybody who's ever dealt with access control lists could tell you they are rarely user-friendly, at least to relative noobs. And globuses are pretty good. You quite explicitly say if you want a user or all users or public, you can give them write access or not. You could email them. In the user field, we will see shortly, you could start typing, for example, Chris Coffee, and you would see Chris come up. But if Chris had never used Globus before or was not affiliated with NAU, you could just simply put an email address in, like I did here with my own personal Gmail address. So I would be able to share something on Monsoon with myself running my Globus endpoint on my workstation at home. Of course, there's not a lot of reason to do that. I could just use my NAU account, but I wanted to point out that it is an option. You can just give an email address and begin sharing it to somebody, as long as the permissions facilitate that. Oh, I do want to point out here. So you can see that I do one edition of a user, that is me and my Gmail. Then I do another edition of all users with no write access. And when I've added those permissions, on the right side screenshot, you can see that at the bottom under /bulk data, which remember is /project/whatever/bulk data, that I explicitly have all users there with read access and no write, and I explicitly have myself with write and read. Easy to read. And you can see that the root level just slash has the default permissions. Yourself and the endpoint, of course, have access to these things. All right, here's a little demo. So you can click share. If you have no file selected, it will be whatever directory is open on the pane you were just viewing. Add a guest collection. Under directory, you would put I guess it was the directory that was open in your file browser gets populated into there, but you could change it if you'd like, just type it in. I would recommend giving your display name something much more clear than demo guest collection, because you're going to be searching the same way that we were when we typed NAU in the collection field, and a lot of results come up, and there's probably 10 people with demo collection under there or registered with Globus. So again, the collection is just the root level upon which you begin giving permission to things. Then you build access with you build an access control list using these share with controls. And you can share specific subdirectories of your collection. So it's a per user, per directory control list. Here I'm just going to share this project alpha subdirectory of my project with Chris. And I'm not going to email. And I don't give him write access just yet. Let's say I forgot. Go ahead and add permission. And then we'll go back to the access control list user interface. You can see Chris is added under path project alpha down at the bottom there. He doesn't have write access though. As you can see, that checkbox is not marked. So let me add some more permissions.
Yeah, of course you have to be careful with people writing permissions
too.
Get access to this data.
Yeah, understand that if you're sharing a collection, it's your user ID. Everything is, of course, audited, logged, but yeah, be careful. As you can see, I just added permissions for public access for read only. And that shows up at the bottom. Public has read access and no write. But Chris, boom, I clicked that. Now he has write access again. It's easy to modify the access controls that you have set up. Okay, so now I'm just going to view my collection, which I saw over in the collections icon sidebar. You can go to the permissions from there too, if you want to know where to find those permissions and update them. I think that was about it. Yeah, that was it. Okay, so That, of course, brings us to the next and final exercise, DIY. And this will be the most complex thing that we've done so far. If you have any questions, please feel free to shout them out and we'll tackle them. Man, I nailed this timing. Just enough for a couple questions at the end. Chris, do you know off the top of your head, once you've created a collection, shared collection, how to figure out what directory you were sharing? Because it took me way too long to figure that out.
I think you have to click on a collection.
You do. It just was literally the opposite of where I thought it was. I'll show it here, but I'll discuss it better in the next slide. But when you go to... go collections, let's go to this one, you go down to, or you go to edit attributes, you gotta consent, of course, and you would think the directory would be right under the name, right? But it's literally at the very bottom, and make matters worse, if you haven't already provided a default, like if you used your default directory, it's not going to have anything in there. It's just got this gibberish slash project ABC.
That's a relative path, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Relative to the default, which is my home. Just a quirk of the interface. Also, if my instructions are a little bit off here, this is the first time we've given this presentation. So if I need to add something or remove something, please tell me. Anything to avoid more questions later is appreciated. Jessica, are you feeling like a guru at Globus yet? Like a guru with Globus yet?
Sure.
Excellent, because I ask for the reason that I would probably be asking you to update our Globus webpage at some point, which actually I'll point out currently. We do have a documentation for Globus on our website or on our area of the NAU website. It's pretty old and needs to be updated, with the exception of at the very bottom, I added section 3, which is where anybody can watch these videos. It's the same videos that are hosted on our RC data link, which is on the very first slide of this presentation. And above each video is a little summary of the things that are gonna happen in the video if you'd like to view it in more detail. papers, I struggled to find good terminology for what mapped means in terms of user IDs being mapped. If you aren't already an administrator doing that mapping, it's not, I don't know how clear that is to new people. So if you have any ideas how to describe that. All right.
Thank you very much. That was really easy to follow. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one. Thanks. All right.
Yes.
Well, let's just charge right along then. So this slide, the title is When You Forget, Not If You Forget What Path a Collection Uses. You will go to the project in the file browser, click on the dots, or find the collection on the collections tab. Click the edit attributes, and I've sort of photoshopped the second screenshot here. The default directory is at the very bottom. The display name is at the very top. Just keep that in mind. You can, as you might have seen while right-clicking files in file browser, you can get a link. You can also bookmark on the toolbar, on the side toolbar over here. This one, of course. There are two kinds of links. There's one where it just simply opens to the file listing you're viewing, kind of just open directory, and the other one is directly to a file. Now, if you're sharing a file from a collection that someone needs to log in to view, they will be prompted to log in, but then it will download the file. If it's an anonymous collection where a public has read access, it will just directly download that file. So that's why you would maybe want that second link type. Otherwise, the first link type is probably all you're ever going to want. And keep in mind that it's kind of just like any other web link. You could bookmark it and it will bring you to the same view you're just looking in, which is actually pretty nice. If you're collaborating with somebody, here's the directory. You don't need to tell them to traverse anything, just open this link. And again, you can share with Globus users, specific ones, all Globus users, so they are required to log in some fashion, or anonymous users. If you do choose to share with somebody not affiliated with NAU who doesn't have a Globus account, doesn't already have a Globus account, you can just put their email address in like I did on a couple of slides ago. This is what the email they'll get looks like, just if you're curious. It's just sort of this person sharing this with you, and here's the URL to view it. From there, if it was an anonymous area of a collection, they could just download a specific link, or if it was, actually, I think in this case, it's going to have to be a directory view that you're sharing. They will be prompted to log in, and it will just show the directory. And that login could occur through a personal Google account. That's a single sign-on option available, as well as just simply creating a new account with Globus. And the experience for somebody who is being invited that way via email address, they're going to be prompted just minimally, like, what's your name? Tell us a little bit about if you're a nonprofit or not. And then a couple consents later, that you'll have logged in. And I just wanted to demonstrate here. You can't really tell, but this is my personal Gmail account uploading something to Monsoon. And it did upload with my own Monsoon user ID and group, just if you're curious. All right, if you want to create an endpoint / your own personal collection on your workstation, on your own PC, you can download the software for doing that from this URL. There's a minimal setup process. Most of it is consents and single sign-on authentication. But the real key parts here is you can see your owner identity. For whatever reason, it's just our UID at NAU is the default instead of our first.last at NAU. Just keep that in mind. I don't know when that would come up unless somebody was searching for a collection that you created by your email address. Once you have it installed, you can define what areas that you want to share and how you want to share them, shareable, writable. You can deny access to like your .ssh directory by default. And then once you've created your own collection on your own personal endpoint, it'll show up just like any other collection when you do a collection search. In this case, you can see the hard drive on my laptop right here is viewed as a collection. And I could go directly from Onsen to it or vice versa, or Google Drive to it, or to Google Drive. You see where I'm going. All right, Globus has CLI tools. You would install the Globus software. We'll put documentation for this on our website elsewhere. It's pretty minimal. Globus itself is available via Conda Forge. So to just do a Conda create -n, whatever -c Conda Forge, and then boom, it'll install into your environment. So here I activate it and then I search for NAU, but notice I do an endpoint search. This is where the endpoint collection stuff becomes the most confusing. The server side hasn't started to just refer to endpoint and collection, or the command line side, as the same items like the web interface does. So note that I'm doing an endpoint search here for NAU and doing a little bit of parsing, but you can see all of our main things there. The NAU endpoint itself is listed, but you wouldn't usually be interacting with that directly. So now that we can see these long identifying strings for each collection, you could do something like an LS. You try to do an LS on a specific collection. In this case, it's the B8 collection, my OneDrive. In this case, I'm trying to list my OneDrive. It prompts me immediately for consent. So you would copy paste this long string that it gives you into a web browser. It'll do a single sign-on. You'll have a consent that you have to authorize. Then it'll give you a code. You paste that here. And then the consent is complete and you can do the LS successfully. Now, if you want to do a transfer, again, I'm going from B8, that was my OneDrive, to 4F, which I think was, Monsoon. So in the syntax is almost identical to SCP. It's host colon path. So you do a command and then source host colon path and destination host colon path. So here I'm sending the entirety of our Microsoft Teams chat files that we saw in one of those demos earlier. A -r for recursive, it will throw an error if you don't put that in there. And I'm also encrypting it because why not? Again, it's prompting me for consent, which I provide. Then I run the transfer again and it's been created and queued. And I can look at the what's happening with it with other Globus commands. I don't want to get into all of the different little commands in Globus because Globus is so good at contextual information. If you just type Globus in, it'll show you a list of flags and a list of commands you can do. If you type Globus help and then one of those commands, it'll give you more information about it. I did want to point out that on the personal Globus collections, what was I going to point out about that? I'll get back to it. I'm sure it'll come to me. But you can show the same screens that you would see on the web page as far as the details. And you can also see the event list, as you could see in the other tab of that same screen on the web interface. Here you can see that it was a successful transfer and 131 files got moved. And that's it for this presentation. Let me know if you have any questions.